This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
Carmen Vitale is in the building.
Hi, oh my God.
The person who's going to be on the show with me tomorrow, Big Ant Heron. There's a gap in his cultural knowledge. All right, Big Ant, not a big shaboozy guy?
Is this, Tootsie or Tootsie? What's this guy's name?
Stop.
Shaboozy.
There is Shaboozy.
Country music's hottest rising star, Grammy nominated six times over, Shaboozy.
I've heard of Shibuya, and no. I'd never heard of Shibuya until I think it was last Thanksgiving. Like kind of a Hootie with dreads, all right. I can dig it. What's his name? Tootsie?
I can't. I'm going to give Ant so much grief next time I see him.
Well, I'm going to see him tomorrow.
Here comes the two, to the three. Yeah.
Stop.
Like everybody I grew up with listens to country music, and I don't, but I get it. Like I understand why white people like it. You know, like you can relate to it. You can understand all the lyrics. You don't need to Google what a nene is. It's not, I don't know if you know this. Every country song's just about exactly what a white guy is doing at that moment. It's like, I turn the radio up. It's like, yeah, yeah. That's good. That's music. That's what I like.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show. We have got you until 6 o'clock. Nico Horner is going to join us in about 10 minutes. You never want to miss an opportunity to hear from Nico as the Cubs get ready to start their series up against the Giants, and they are making room to get back into this race. So we will discuss that a little bit with Nico. Alex is back from Europe. He's totally refreshed. Tanny is not refreshed. He needs another vacation. That man is Big Ant Heron.
Did I do that right?
Yes! 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 That's someone who likes the show.
How you doing, buddy? Have a good day, all right?
We love Big Ant Heron, and it's a great day to have him here because there's going to be a lot of news coming out of House Hall. The cuts will be finalized in about 40 minutes. We're going to let you hear from Ben Johnson. We're also going to let you hear from Ryan Poles. He's going to talk today. I'm curious on whether or not he takes questions. And I know that that's a weird thing to be curious about. But considering that the last time he spoke, he didn't, I'm curious on if he'll take questions today. Especially since his head coach was like, you got to ask Ryan about what's going on with Jalen Johnson. That's not fun, but we'll get to that later on. It is cut down day, and the beauty of having Big Ant Heron here is that he has dealt with this on a level that the rest of us really can't relate to.
So I've been cut.
I wasn't going to say that part, but what's this like for someone who was always like wondering if they were the 53rd or 52nd man on a roster? What was this like for you?
It's a different deal, man. I was talking to former Illini great and NFL great Brad Hopkins about this on NFL radio over the weekend. Just with this final day approaching, there is sort of this heightened alertness and awareness that the middle of the roster kind of has to a certain extent, but then the bottom of the roster and guys who realize it might be a long shot, you're just waiting and you're wondering. And you know, a lot of the conversation that ends up happening in the days leading into this period of time, a lot of times it'll be the veterans kind of reassuring you about whether or not the opportunity is going to be your last, or if it doesn't work here, you've been auditioning for all these other teams around the league. And especially my rookie year, before I'd ever been through anything like that before, was just a really unique experience. Because, you know, for me, as an undrafted free agent, and then, you know, I got to the point where, you know, I was having a really good offseason, going through mini camps and OTAs, and I'm running behind the twos for a stretch, backing up Robert Porcher, who's about to be inducted into the Lions, like, Ring of Honor. Well, they don't call it a Ring of Honor, but essentially the Lions Ring of Honor. They're going to induct Robert Porcher into it this season.
I have a suggestion. They should call it the Lions Pride.
Mm-hmm. And they honestly might.
That's going to have fun with names.
It is fun.
Get the whatever the alumni emails are. I didn't commit it to memory, but their version of the Ring of, maybe it's the Den or something.
Oh, that's good. That's also good.
It's something along those lines. But so I like running with the twos. We're going through the preseason games, and we get through the second to last preseason game, which I think we had either four or five preseason games that year, my rookie year, but against the Pittsburgh Steelers, we're at Heinz Field, and I'm out there, and yeah, I'm accustomed to that point. I'm doing reps with the twos, the threes, the fours. Like, it's, you know, they're trying to get the rookies some work to see if they can count on me, if they can depend on me. I had broken my foot in the first preseason game, and I was referencing this the other night just through the context of how, you know, we've right now seen where Kyle Tucker is just kind of coming out of this funk that he's been in offensively. And the reports weren't out there initially that he had the fractured finger, fractured hand. And for me, I broke the calcaneus bone in my foot, which is like basically the heel bone. And I broke the front of the top of the calcaneus bone after I got rolled up in the first preseason game. So my production dipped and I wasn't playing as well because I didn't want to take any practices off. And I kept hearing, you can't make the club in the tub. I'm this undrafted free agent. So I'm just toughing it out and limping around in every practice, in every game, and I'm still out there competing. They sign Alonzo Spellman, who I grew up watching as a Bears fan. And so that, you know, how that impacted me just as a rookie who's now all banged up. And I'm thinking, I'm in this great spot to not only make the squad, but be a contributor as a rookie, as an undrafted free agent. And now I'm limping around everywhere. And they signed this dude who, to me, was kind of the pinnacle of Bears potential. After Richard Dent and Trace Armstrong, Alonzo Spellman was going to be the next great Bear. And I'm going out there, sitting in the stands at Soldier Fields with my pops, watching Zoe out there. So now I'm at the point where I'm in my rookie season and he's on the latter stages of his NFL career. They sign him and then they immediately just boot him right over in front of me. So now Zoe's running with the twos. I'm just rotating with all these different groups. So I'm limping through this Steelers game. I have a heat stroke during the Steelers game, in the second half of that game. So I can't finish that game. Again, still didn't miss any practices. So I go through the final preseason game, play well. I think that one was against the Titans. And I remember the very final team meeting we had, we're breaking down that film from the final preseason game and just listening to the man who was my D-line coach at the time, Charles Haley.
And uh-oh.
Yeah, yeah.
He didn't do that.
There were multiple comments he made under his breath as I was making plays, and he was saying things like, why couldn't he do that last week? He's like talking to himself, but loud enough where I can hear it because I'm sitting near him. And as he's, you know, I'm doing things well. And in my mind, I've responded to last week and I've persevered through this broken foot. And I can just hear Charles Haley making these comments as though I'm no longer on the team. And that struck me in that moment, like, wait. So there's decisions they've already made about the roster count and the D-line depth and everything else. And, I know I've put good film out there, but it's the first time, you know, as a professional in my rookie season, I'm like, man, this isn't going to work here, is it? And
wow.
There's a switch that has to flip in your brain when you're in that position, when you go through that, when you know there's discussions they've been having throughout the entire offseason leading to this moment right here. Unfortunately, you know, worked out elsewhere for a little while, but yeah, that moment is one that always sticks with me just to hear, like, man, my position coach, he knows it's not happening here. They ended up bringing me back later on. I was there for a couple more years, but that is what I think about on a day like today.
There's three different, there's Charlie, Chuck, and Charles. Charlie is the sensitive one, he's always crying. Charles is the sensible one, and then Chuck, he's that call.
We got a lot of Chuck in Detroit, in the D-line room.
A lot of Chuck?
Yeah, whole lot of Chuck.
All right, I like that. All right, we need to take a break. We can come back to this in a little bit.
Okay.
When we come back, we're going to talk with Nico Horner. Have you ever talked with Nico?
Nico! Yes.
He's a good man, and his segments are always fun. We're going to talk with him next here on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Benning six, second baseman number two, Nico Horner.
Hello, I got places to be.
Nico Horner, that's so fun.
Nico Horner, how are you, man? Keep rocking it, mate.
Got good hair.
He does.
He's jacked, too.
Yeah, he is.
I'm jealous.
It's called court awareness.
That's right.
Nico's got it.
Cubs wins and dates with Bruce. It's a great thing.
Double dates. Wow.
All right, guys, Nico Horner.
Nico did his weekly radio show appearance today on Spiegel and Holmes.
Starting second baseman for your Chicago Cubs.
The 0-2. Line drive.
By Nico Horner. Nico Horner makes the catch. A sharp line drive. Nico ran to his left, speared that ball, looked like a little bit of a snow cone. He caught it at knee level, not a routine play, but he came up big defensively, as he has done so many times in the past.
Nico snares the liner, and they hang on to win it 4-3.
And JD, you have the professor making a start against the Cubs. It's a little different seeing him in red and white in that uniform.
I'm sure a lot of mixed emotions for Cub fans today watching Kyle go to the mound and hoping that the Cubs do some damage against him.
Swinging a drive toward left center, on the run is Ward, and he can't get it. It bounces past him all the way to the wall. Happ racing around third. He will score on a double by Nico Horner.
Two-out RBI double. Cubs take their first lead. It's a 2-1 game of the fourth.
Nico Horner on 670 The Score.
How fun is that?
It's a lot of fun. This is a universally loved segment that we do every week with Nico Horner. You don't even have to be a Cubs fan to enjoy it. Nico Horner joins us here, sponsored by Huntington, home of asterisk-free checking. More at Huntington.com/your money. And you know what? Since Nico's here, why don't we give away the tickets to see the Cubs take on Tampa Bay right now? That will be at Wrigley Field on September 13th. It's all provided by Bosch Power Tools. The more you Bosch, the more you feel like a Bosch. So be caller 6 to 312-540-0670, and we're going to hook you up with a pair of tickets to see the Cubs take on Tampa Bay. The Cubs and Nico are out in San Francisco. They got the Giants for a three-game series. Nico, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm going from my place in San Francisco in a self-driving Waymo to the field right now.
I have done the Waymo when I've been out in Arizona. By the way, Speaks is off today. Big Ant Heron, who played in the NFL as a Iowa football legend, is hosting with me, Nico. So
what up, Nico?
So he wants to say hey, but I have taken the Waymo and I now prefer it. What's your experience?
It's a smooth ride. I mean, no highways in the Waymo, which I'm cool with, keeping it under, 30 miles an hour or so, just cruising across the city. It's smooth.
All right. So I'm the dinosaur who hasn't been willing to attempt this yet. I do have some West Coast friends who've done it a few different times, and they love it like Nico seems to love it here. Give me the rundown, man. Like, when is this your first time doing it? Do you know the route it's going to take before you hop in?
Yeah, so I live here in the off season in San Francisco, so I'm pretty familiar. Usually have my car out here, but obviously not this time of year. So it's smooth. I think a little more consistent than the Uber. It's nice. And I knew I was going to be talking to you guys, so got no one else in the car to listen to me.
It worked out really well, and they'll play like the soothing music for you if you need it as well.
Oh yeah.
My big moment was earlier this year, because I had done it before. Like, you just kind of like try it out, and it's big out west and in the desert. And my moment began was I was in an Uber. I landed at Sky Harbor. And my Uber driver, first of all, when I got in, he said, "Oh, you look like you're rich." And I was like, "I don't like that, how that sounds." And
you do kind of look like money, but,
okay, that's fine. But I don't need him to tell me that and then take me someplace and rob me. But then he said, "Oh, I just got back from, I think he had been to Thailand, and he wanted to show me pictures and videos, and he decided that he was going to do that while driving." So he had one hand on the wheel, and then the other hand was showing me the videos of all the cool things that he saw. And as soon as I got out, I was like, "That's it. I won't be taking another Uber the whole time that I'm here. It's Waymo for me the whole way."
Yeah, it's a little sketchy
at that point.
Yeah, it's super sketch. Nico, you guys have made up some ground. 5.5 games back now of Milwaukee as you guys start to play this week. Emotionally, what was last week like, and how good did this past weekend feel?
Yeah, I mean, I think winning both games of that doubleheader was a really big deal. Winning a doubleheader against anybody is really challenging, but especially when it's the team you're trailing in your division, that's a significant day at the ballpark. And and just how we've won games lately, it's been a really nice variety of types of wins, and our starting pitching has just been so good for a while now, and it's really the backbone of consistency for a team, and they've really carried us.
6 of 7, 8 of 10, the team itself is definitely cooking here lately. The offense, because there was such a standard set early in the season, still hasn't quite gotten back to that yet. So what is that balance of recognizing that the team is starting to roll, and like you referenced, that the pitching staff has continued to be really impressive, but, you guys in the lineup still recognizing that there's some meat on the bone for where you can still take this thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think you phrased it well in that, you can see that as a negative, or you can see it as a real opportunity and a positive sign that, we haven't been at our best, but have still, won some games lately. And our pitching has obviously kept us alive through some stretches in a way that, that when those things sync up, you've got a chance to do some really special things, as we've done at other points of the season. And, in an ideal world, you're firing on all cylinders at all times, but that's not the reality of 162, but it's always the standard that we're chasing. And I think we're in a really strong place to put that forth in the remaining however many games left we have on the schedule.
I think it's fair to call Kyle Hendricks a Cubs legend. So,
definitely.
So what was that like to see him being pitching against the Cubs?
It was strange. You know, I was with Tommy Hotovy, our pitching coach, in the dugout, just kind of remarking about that as the game started, just seeing him take the mound in very familiar fashion with all of his, you know, his body language and his routines and all the things that Cubs players and fans have been, you know, so fond of for a long time. And but also happy for him, you know, that he's had that opportunity and to pitch close to where he grew up. He's an all-time Cub. Absolutely fair to call him a legend, especially with his ties to the success of that World Series year. And, you know, with all the superstars that team had, I think there was something about how Kyle went about his work that fans were really drawn to also. And it's just an amazing career for him that he's had.
And your perspective is always really impressive when I listen to you on with Lawrence and Matt on a regular basis here. And so for you as a younger guy who wasn't around the organization yet when Kyle was really at the height of his powers and being a part of that World Series squad, in what ways do you take that in? In what ways do you sort of recognize and appreciate that even within the moment when he's on the mound and you and your teammates are out here recognizing that you're facing a guy who's meant so much to this organization?
Yeah, I mean, I think his last start at Wrigley last year really captured that well. He pitched an incredible ball game, and just the reception that he received from the fans and the emotions that provoked in people just remind you how many lives you can touch just by, you know, being yourself and being fortunate to be in an organization that really appreciates great players and people that have, you know, he gave his huge chunk of his life to just being an amazing Cub. And I know I really appreciate him as a player. Obviously what we do on the field is very different, but he's a starting pitcher that, you know, obviously out there only once every fifth day, but he's watching every day and so observant of players on other teams, of what guys on our teams are doing. And if you ever asked him a question, like, he was just immediately aware of so much that was going on. And I thought that just level of attention to detail was super telling, both for the success that he had, but also about how he cared about other people.
Do players talk about the idea of long tenure in one place? Because right now you're one of the longer tenured Cubs. It's your seventh season in a Cubs uniform. I know that with how the game shifts and churns that staying in one place for forever is almost impossible, but is that even a discussion that players have?
Oh yeah, I think guys have a lot of respect for that. And honestly, I think a lot of players start their career, you know, with, especially if they're in a place they like, with that idea and kind of that dream. And, you know, whether it's up to the player or front office, obviously that's really hard to attain even for the best players. But yeah, it was a big deal earlier in the season when Ian, who's our longest tenured player, reached 1,000 games with the Cubs. Just like, you know, guys reach milestones all the time, but I think when it's all in one place, especially a place like Chicago, it's has a different level of weight and respect, and it's a huge deal, I think.
The weight of expectations for this season really kind of seemed like they started to crescendo in maybe more so of a negative way before the last couple of weeks here, going into that Brewers series, and, you know, probably Craig Counsell being questioned in a way that he really hadn't up to that point on his managerial decisions, and of course everything around Kyle Tucker. Let's start with the Craig aspect of that for you as a player. And I know you and Craig constantly just kind of talk the game and talk about life and all these things and the perspective you guys like to share on various topics. But in what ways did you watch him handling that before you guys have begun to come out of what was a fairly difficult stretch for a while?
Yeah, I mean, he's remarkable in how he shows up for us every day, and that he really sticks to his core messages that he puts forth early in the season. And you don't see from our end a very different, overly reactionary, you know, different emotions every day kind of guy. He's showing up in a similar way, and he really enjoys being at the ballpark. He loves showing up and hanging out with the players. And I think that's the stuff that he really gets a kick out of and keeps him going too. So we both feed off each other. And I think more generally talking about, you know, the maybe more negativity or criticism from fans or things like that through a tough stretch, that's just part of having an amazing opportunity and having people that care. I think, like, I'd much rather be in a place where the opportunity for like joy and excitement and big moments is high, and that's also paired with, you know, criticism or challenges when things don't go well, because you want to be in a place where people care and it matters, and there is passion, and it's not always like going to be easy, but the opportunity for really great things is higher because of that.
When I look at the series against Milwaukee last week, and you can look at the stands and go, oh, well, the Cubs only picked up one game. And I look at it as you guys picked up two because of the tiebreaker. Now, I know that it's unlikely that plays a role, but I thought you guys getting the third win in that series was huge. I was sad that you didn't get the fourth, but getting that third one, I feel like there's something to the idea of keeping them in sight and knowing that even as well as they've played in the second half of the season, that even if it's by one game, that you guys won the season series, and have that in the back of your pocket for the last 2 weeks of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think winning the season series is significant. Like you said, the fourth game really would have been icing on the cake in that series and really put us in a strong place, I feel like. But season series is significant. Obviously, with the change in schedule, you don't play your division opponents as much. It'd be great to play them one more time down the stretch, and would just be another intense, exciting series. It is significant, of course, both for this importance of a tiebreaker, and then also just within our clubhouse of winning head-to-head matchups and just embracing another good team and the opportunity to play them. I do think that's important, and of course.
It's hard to just spend the entire season ignoring standings, but are we at the point in the baseball calendar where that's a part of the conscious mind in the clubhouse more now, or perhaps even you guys flat out discuss it, just where the Brewers are, where you are, where things sit in the division, the wild card? Is that more acceptable to just sort of outwardly discuss?
Yeah, I mean, throughout the year, all players, I think, are pretty conscious of other teams and standings and the success that other players and teams are having, and it's all part of understanding your own team's story. Obviously, none of that's worth anything unless you're controlling your own end of it, so that's where the intention really lies. But, yeah, of course we know where we're at, and we know what's ahead of us. It doesn't change the daily task that much, but it does provide some bigger purpose, especially more so this time of year than in, you know, May or June especially.
So, Ann, you had a question for Nico. I'm going to move back and fall back here. Pro to pro, you guys talk about stuff.
For me, just as a guy, Nico, where I would, from one season to the next, never be completely confident. I wasn't one of the guys at the top of the roster usually during my NFL career. So this is NFL cutdown day, where the final cuts for the rosters are happening all throughout the league. And certainly We're talking about it here from a Bears perspective. How do you discuss the end of spring training with some of the younger players in the Cubs clubhouse, and just how to navigate that emotionally and mentally?
Yeah, wow, that is loaded, and I think it's interesting in baseball because, you know, everyone goes into spring training with their own younger players, with their own like drive to make that opening day roster, and it is a big deal to be, you know, standing out on the line for the anthem on opening day, and that 100% is a huge deal. But it's crazy when you look back now, it's beginning of the season to opening day, how much changes between then and now. So it's hard to tell somebody that, like, you know, that it's not the end of the road, and if you don't make the team and all that. But the course of the season is really going to tell the full story. You know, I had 2021 was, I guess, the best example for myself personally. Was really felt like I had a strong chance to, you know, not just make the opening day roster, but be an impact player for the team from day one, and didn't make the team out of camp. But it ended up being injuries that year that were the real challenge. Like, in hindsight, that not making opening day was a small thing compared to all that. So, it's definitely different careers and different stories. Everyone has their moments they reflect on that felt like monumental at the time, and then in hindsight, really wasn't what shaped their career at all, or it was, and it's a, you know, a wake-up call and something that really provided clarity on what they can improve on. And I think it all depends on the conversations you have, and like you said, that's where the locker room and clubhouse can be so valuable, when you have guys that have experienced things like that before and then are able to at least share experiences with guys that are going through similar things.
Nico, it's funny because I remember at the beginning of the season, you were pretty like down on where you were offensively, and you now have an opportunity to have statistically your best season as a pro. How proud are you of the grit to stick with it when it wasn't going your way from a power standpoint, but you found other ways to help this team out? And now I'm looking at, you're a 5-WAR player right now. You're a 5-WAR player with a whole nother month to go. So what does that feel like when you walked into this season maybe being like, man, I don't know what's going on, and now you're at the precipice of your team being a playoff team and you having your best personal season as a pro?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a level of gratitude just, you know, for health. Obviously, you can't do any of that without it, and that was the biggest thing for me in spring training, coming off of surgery to my elbow and not getting to have a spring training of at-bats and things like that. So, you know, it's so easy as an athlete, or really anybody, to, you know, be more aware of the things that you're not doing than what you are. And I do feel that a lot on a daily basis. And I feel like a lot of ways I can impact the game that I'm not, and things that I can do better. And I think, well, as athletes, you're always striving to improve on those things, but that can also be a slippery slope where you lose sight of the things, or maybe take for granted the things that you've done yourself for yourself and for the team that have gotten you to that point. So it's always a balance of the two, I think. And, you know, I don't take for granted my ability to contribute without necessarily feeling good. I think it's a huge part of being an everyday player in baseball and in any sport, I imagine, but always looking for ways to improve at the same time.
With the way that the schedule works out, it would be easy for a Cub fan, not a Cub player, but a Cub fan to go, ooh, the Cubs have a real opportunity here to make some hay against the Angels in San Francisco and against the Rockies. How do you stay in that moment of, we do just have to now take these games one at a time?
Yeah, absolutely, one at a time. But, you know, guys are aware of schedules and parts of the year, but, you know, a West Coast trip in August, no matter who you're playing, isn't traditionally always the easiest thing. But I thought guys handled that the Anaheim series really well, kind of two really close games and one blowout, but some really great moments. That homer by Pete was obviously just so huge for just winning that game, but like you said, like setting a tone for the entire road trip and getting that Friday night win in a tough close game, low scoring game, and having a big moment. I felt like that was super uplifting, and those games and moments do sometimes feel bigger than just one swing.
Nico's at his destination.
Sorry.
He's at his destination, which is great.
I'm getting interrupted by robots, yeah.
And that's okay. We're going to let you go and get inside the ballpark. Thanks so much, as always, for joining us.
All right, guys. Thank you. Hope you have a great Tuesday.
We plan on it. That's Nico Horner, man. So
that's where, like, one of the androids reaches into the vehicle and they lift him up and take him to his destination the rest of the way?
No, it's not.
And when they grab you with those metal claws, you can't break free.
That's true.
Because they're made of metal and robots are strong.
And robots are strong. Yes, they are.
It's not quite iRobot yet, but it's getting close. And it's cool because, like, because you'll see them if you're in West Coast cities, where there'll be a bunch of them. And they're Jaguars. Like, they're really nice cars, and then they have a little light on the top that will have your initials on it, so you know, like, which one to get in, which one is for you, and then you have to app it to open the door for the thing. It's definitely jarring. I was talking with Shake about this, Shakia Taylor about this. It's jarring when the first time that you do it, but if I'm out west, that's my preferred. If I'm not driving myself, that's my preferred way to get around.
Just to avoid human interaction.
I'm a bit of an introvert. that's true. I am a bit of an introvert, but it's nice because you can like let go a little bit. Like, you don't have to think. Like, there's not the forced interaction that sometimes happens with Uber, even if you're one of the people that says, I don't want people to talk. Like, that's kind of rude, you know? Like, it's
I've got some friends who do that, and I haven't had the nerve to actually put that on my profile yet, but I've spent a lot, especially after we moved to the burbs last year. I'll do some early morning studio work at the Big Ten Network, and I got the Sirius XM show in the morning, so there's certain days during the football season where I'll take a super early rideshare, Uber or Lyft, into the city, just so frankly I can catch a couple more winks if I want to.
Sure.
On the drive into the studio, And sometimes the driver, whether it's them trying to keep themselves awake or if they're just a chatty individual by nature, and I can have my head reared back, I can be leaning on the window, I can actually fake snoring, and they'll, like, you know, conversationally just wake me up and keep talking or whatever.
I don't mean to generalize, but I think the morning drivers, they're a little more
with it.
Yeah, a little more chippy and chirpy. Yeah.
Maybe
that's the issue.
I had an incident in Miami where Mel and I were there and we were trying to get to the airport and the driver didn't speak English. So it's funny because my Spanish is no bueno, but survival Spanish kicks in with me a lot. Right. And I've had to do that multiple times, including on the border of Nicaragua. But anyway, and it kicked in and I was like, Izquierda, por favor. You know, trying to get this. And I remember he was stressed out because he didn't speak English. And then I'm stressed out because I barely speak Spanish. And it worked out. And that's another thing that you don't necessarily have to deal with if you were in the Waymo.
Survival Spanish. I love that.
That's what I call it.
I had a survival Spanish moment, man. Me and my wife are coming back from a Spanish-speaking country. We're going through customs, and she, like, got pulled out of the line, some, like, random deal. And this is where, like, at customs, they had, like, some machine guns out. They're kind of standing there. And I just took my phone out, and I was just going to kind of give her a hard time about it after we got through. And I started snapping a couple of pictures of them, like, searching her stuff at customs.
Don't do that.
Hey, man, the dude squared up on me like, hey, what are you doing? Uh-huh. And he started yelling at me in Spanish. Mi esposa. Mi esposa. Like that just.
Mi esposa. Lo siento.
Yeah, I unfortunately was able to remember that phrase in the moment. Mi esposa. Mi esposa. While he's basically got his weapon trained on me. He tells me to delete the pictures. Like, my bad, man.
Yeah, man. I tell people all the time. When I tell them about the day trip that we took from Costa Rica to Nicaragua and being at the border of Nicaragua and Costa Rica and whatever you're thinking the border of Nicaragua and Costa Rica is like, you are correct because there was all sorts of stuff going on once you got to the Nicaraguan side of the border. Man. But we'll come back to that at a later point. We need to hear from the Bears head coach. Ben Johnson had some things to say this morning, and there's a couple of them that piqued Chris Tannehill's ear, and we need to go through it. And one of them kind of has to do with someone who's on this show. We'll explain next here on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore.
Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it.
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.